job for 6 years.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
The doc in Sydney's listening to this, he'll be extremely happy, Don, because we've left the shout-outs and...
He wouldn't be listening. We've gone for 2 hours and we've talked shit. He would have tuned out. No, he would have tuned out by now because he's got a brain and he would have gone off and entertained himself in some other facet of his life.
When I title the topics that we speak about, we've put... The first one was... or whatever we were talking about, television shows. The second one was Don and the Chicken. But when he might miss those two, but when I title the next one saying, for the doc in Sydney, he might listen then because he might see his name. So that's why he might listen just to the third one because he hasn't rung in. And Phoebe, I asked her to come on the boat with the crew from the Technicolor Dreamcoat, but she's extremely busy. And I don't know why she's not in, but doesn't matter. And
you've upset her. You go through friends or acquaintances like a dose of salt.
No, we don't. I do.
Yes.
So... we've got Dr. Jim Stewart. Jimmy, he's coming in week after next. More questions about the marijuana oil just piling.
I'm asking about Corona.
Piling oil and Corona. So he's coming in. And thank you very much. Kate Save has got... What's happened with Kate, Don?
Over Christmas...
You've exploited the...
Now, hang on.
Fit Foods. You just go down there every other day and load the truck up.
I do.
I think she's happy to give you stuff, but you've made a welter of it.
No, to get rid of me. Mm-hmm. Samantha is the girl in the reception. She just says, get out, and she loads me up with stuff.
Have you got the coach of St Kilda onto it yet? You said he was fat. You said he was overweight.
He's a good bloke, Ross.
Why did you say...
You've got a mouth.
You said to me off
air. That's right. We cannot talk to you in confidence.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
I'm a solid.
I've learnt this. You're a shithead.
I'm as solid as a blancmange. So speaking of, how'd you go? Did you go around to Mick Sheehan's house and do some? You said you'd never speak to Mick again, and yet you went around there and tidied up his
Is that right?
Yeah, Don, did you go round to Mike Sheehan's country residence and do some landscaping for him after he said he'd like to knock you out or he'd like someone to knock you out? He said to Tony Jewell, why don't you knock Don out? And the next minute you're around there tidying up his yard. What's going on there, Don? I reckon you're a pussycat. You shout and bark at people and yet you're just a pushover. Are you and Mick on very good terms? Because when we used to do the podcast, you were at loggerheads with one another. Oh. And the Rocket sat here and he was at loggerheads with you and... I was the Rocket's only friend, and then he turned on me. So anyhow, Don, did you go round and clean up Mick's yard? Come on, Don. Okay, so you're not answering that. So I'm told that you did, and Tony Jewell said, oh, I'm not going around unless Don comes. And you said, I won't go around there unless Mick's there, and you turned up, and bugger me dead, Mick turned up in the car, and all hell broke loose. Don, is that true? Has he paid you?
No, that's not going to happen. Don't break the chair.
I'm told in the industry, I don't know about the industry, I'm told... When you give a quote, and then there's overs in case something unforeseen happens and there's a large tank or something under the thing that you're meant to be thinking. You think, shit, this is not in the quote. I'm going to have to employ some more machinery. Is there any money pending? Anyhow, that's up to you. It's none of my business. Now, Don, so Jim's coming in about the marijuana. Yes?
I'd say my... I have to go. Thank you, Don and Sam, for a great day, and we'll see you Saturday on the boat.
Yeah. Do you know, Ricky, it wasn't necessary for you to actually say that on air. Oh. You could have gone to the door and waved, but you just wanted to be heard again.
Some people wanted to listen to what I had to say.
There'd be very few of them, Ricky, let me tell you.
No, that'd be very good.
That's a shocking handshake. Oh. Well, that's a bloody woman.
Wasn't Ted Whitten.
No, see you later, mate. Thank you. Righto. Yeah, no, righto. So I'm going to have to go into have a 2 days rest if they're coming out in the boat again. Is that a nice...
who's on the boat?
Oh, he's got 25 people coming.
Oh, no.
So I said to him, who's coming on the boat?
Supplying it?
Hang on. I should have asked him this while he was here. I said, who's coming on the boat? He said, well, I've asked all these names like it's a list of who's who. And he said, they're not coming. I said, well, don't tell me who's not coming. Who is coming? He said, oh, you don't know any of them. I said, I don't know any of them, don't I? I said, well, that's good. Anyhow, see, he's on a mission of his own. So you've been doing landscaping at Mick Sheehan's joint, which is extraordinary. I can't believe it. And the James Stewart's coming in about the marijuana oil to answer more questions. And I've got to do the shout-outs for MichaelChristianMenswear.com.
What's he doing? What's he...
Mick's embarking on...
What?
He gets requests. He sent me an apron, you know, a barbecue apron with You Cannot Be Serious on it. He said, do you want to market these? I said, Mick, you market anything you like, I said.
Do we get anything out of this?
Well, now, Mick is sending some money over.
Oh.
And why would I give you some of that?
I don't know. Because you're a good fellow, and I'm
right. Sure, well, I'll give you half of it.
Thank you.
So, but he is sending money over, so he's good. We've got shout outs, but we'll just do the shout outs right at the end in case the doc is actually listening to this. So, did you know? Now, this is where the world's headed. M&M's. Do you know M&M's?
Yeah, the chocolate.
They have now bought out. Please don't think I'm making this up. To cover all bases and all people who eat confectionery, they've bought out M&M's that are lesbian M&M's. Don, I know you think I make some of this up. They've bought out non-binary M&M's. How they do that, I don't know. And they've bought out, wait for this, they've bought out M&Ms that are bigger than normal M&Ms so they don't fat shame people. So for fat people who eat M&Ms...
They're going to do more damage. The bigger M&M, Don, M&Ms...
They say it is politically incorrect to give little M&Ms to people who like to eat a lot of chocolate, so they've made big fat M&Ms.
Do you think
M&Ms.
People are making a joke of what's going on in this woke society? Taking the piss?
I've got a feeling that seems to be taking the piss. Lesbian M&Ms and fat ones. Bigger ones with more chocolate too.
Where do you get all this information?
Well, because I research it, Don. I see it come up on proper news channels, not TikTok.
You're not a typical journalist and trying to make this stuff, you know, you kind of go with a thought.
Don, everything that I announce here, you can verify by just typing in what I say and you'll see it come up on news channels. I don't make nothing up at all. People think I made my big cock up or whatever it was, my massive cock. You can
what
type.
What about your cock?
You'll think I made that up. Everything I say, you can verify that has properly been in the news here or overseas. So that was that. We told you a year ago that Novak Djokovic would become a hero. He has become a hero. He refused to take the vaccination. He's allowed to play here. And the bullshit going on about the vaccination and it being untested...
Yeah, but hang on. Everybody's focusing...
...is criminal.
Good. I'm glad you brought this up because it's one of my... Why are we focusing on Djokovic? He was just an innocent party. There were people behind the scenes who escaped.
Yep.
Now, I'm talking about the Australian Open...
Yep.
And the state government. Now, they've got... Djokovic was the pawn in all of this. Why haven't they face the music. We haven't heard a thing about either of those two parties.
Because it's identity politics, Don.
What are you talking about, identity?
Well, the identities are the people who make the news go around like Djokovic, and it's political because this government...
But nobody was stood up.
Andrews,
yes,
closed this state down, was fed bullshit by the Fauci and the people overseas
about what the organisers of the Australian Open. They got
the vaccine
out of it.
The vaccine was unproven. It is still unproven. It's caused more trouble, and it was a political
expedient thing. Deal with the state government. He deals with the officials of the Australian
Mr.
Tiley
Open. Or Tilly.
All of those people involved.
Yes.
And not one of them
is held accountable.
Exactly.
That's right. So, and good on him. And he received a tremendous ovation in Adelaide. And when he comes here to the Australian, it'll be interesting here in Melbourne just to see how many... Well, because he'll probably be applauded absolutely grandly and roundly. But there'll be some people who'll boo because they'll think... he thumbed his nose at the ridiculous health requirement of everyone having to have boosters. The boosters and the injections do not stop you getting COVID. There's more people get COVID who have been vaccinated. It is a rort. And
you know, we're talking. You got the Greens on the thing about our world and whatever else. I went into Coles or Woolworths the other day. They used to have paper bags, and I would recycle the paper bags. Do you know there is not one paper bag in a supermarket? It's all still plastic.
Yep.
And if that doesn't pollute the world, I will give it away. And the paper bags, this particular chain, I don't know which one, it was only either Coles or Woolies, have taken all their paper bags. They used to have them in the vegetable section away. Now, they are not helping the environment, and also as far as recycling. We saw what happened there. Recycle, it goes out to some factory out in the northern suburbs and stored there.
So you can brace yourself for this. There's a grubby little group of people called Extinction Rebellion. They are on about fossil fuels, and they are going to target all the people who mine and produce gas, fossil fuels. Let's hope that when it arrives eventually here, because it will, that the coppers take the big water cannons down to the protests and the big coshes and hose them off the streets.
Yeah, and in Europe they're building more power stations, coal, power, and I would say that China soon will be importing a lot more of Australian coal when the relations
improve.
Because
suddenly the lies that the governments have told us that wind and solar and renewable energy is the way
to
go.
It's just not feasible.
It's not feasible, and it never will be. It never will be. And it won't worry us so much. We'll be out of business. But by the time this community and the country completely disintegrates, because no one can get heating, no one can get air conditioning, no one can drive cars, no one can get anywhere to any place because of the climate change fools. We had a man in here called William Kenilworth who said it is an absolute hoax. He said climate change is caused by
the
wind,
currents,
tides,
which we don't know enough about.
The sun. He said it's an absolute hoax and it's just a political expedient. And we in this state were treated the worst of any place on earth by Dan government, his government, who corruptly brought this city to its knees for no good reason.
And talking about our government, there's a lot of builders. Well, I've heard of two going broke in the last week. You know, builders? Have you seen that on the news?
Yes.
Okay. My theory. You ready? Cost of doing the buildings. They quote a building. I understand about materials going up because of COVID and overseas. But the other big factor is getting labourers and workers to work on these jobs. When they can go to a government project and get a third more, sometimes half again, 50% more on their wage working on a state government project than what they can get working in the private sector. Now, there's the government not helping the private sector as far as building houses goes.
Now, Don, we are deliberately leaving the shout-outs to the end.
Well, before we do shout-out, I've got a few things.
I'm not doing them. Someone did a survey on this. Listen to the people wasting money doing surveys. Do you know the average duration of a phone call? This is from a boy to a boy, right? A boy to a boy is 59 seconds.
Yours are 15.
A boy, what?
Your conversations go no more. It's a conversation if it's 15 seconds with you. Normally it's 5 seconds with you.
If a boy rings a boy, or I presume a male rings a male, the average duration of the phone call goes for 59 seconds. If a boy rings his mother, it's the average, I don't know who did this, but the average duration of the phone call is 50 seconds. If a boy rings his dad, it's 30 seconds. If a boy rings a girl, it's 1 minute and 25 seconds.
I thought it'd be an hour.
If a girl rings a girl, it's 6 minutes. So the average conversation time of a girl ringing a girl is 6 minutes. So, and then a mum and a married daughter, if a mum rings her married daughter, it's $10, 10 minutes and 50 seconds. And wait for this, wife to a husband, there's 14 missed calls. They just have 14 missed calls. So there you are. They're the average duration of phone calls.
Well, you beat them all.
On various
genders. You beat them all. 5 seconds with you.
Aware boy to boy.
There's no goodbye or hellos with you. So you save a lot of time there.
Yeah, so why would you want me to when you say, I see your name come up on the phone, and what do I say?
Yes.
That's right, I say yes.
No, in the way you say it, you've got to put, yes.
That's right, yes.
Yes.
And you say, listen, did you know that... and I say, no, I didn't, Don.
There's no conversation with you.
Well, you ask me a question, I always answer it. And I say, is that it? And you say...
No, you don't say that's it. Bang, phone's down.
Well, because you're finished. What do I...
5 seconds.
That's just ridiculous, Don. There's no need to go on with all that nonsense. So I've got to the stage now, Don, where I have that many people in the street or I meet, say, they listen to the podcast. I can't possibly write them all down. I had Andrews. I could mention every name that has ever been sort of thought of, and that would cover. But Mick Christian, MichaelChristianMenswear.com, who's going gangbusters with all the projects.
How does he fit all this in with his writing of comedy for Rodney Rood?
I got nits, fucking nits. That's Rodney Rood. Now, this is shout-outs. This is from Mick, right?
What is he doing, producing a show now?
Well, the people who ask for the hats and the caps... And
there's not too many of them.
Stubby holders, what?
There's not too many of them.
He's into his 15th.
No, he's making all this up. He's playing you on a break. I haven't seen any money at all.
He's into it. I said he sends money.
Where?
He sends money and I will just spread that away with you. Now, hang on. Mind you, it's
going by bloody camel train through the Sahara.
Well, it's got you can what?
Yeah, his money. He's put it on the camel train. And it's off through the Sahara and coming to Melbourne.
He might make camel toes for women.
What? And put it across the front of it. You cannot be serious.
You cannot be serious. Oh, you camel toe. What about that? Or massive cock. He could make condoms with. You cannot be serious. Oversized condoms.
Pizza dough.
No, oversized condoms for people with my massive cock. Don, so if you've just tuned in, that's a show that's on television. I'm not making that up. Now, this is Mix. These are Mix shout outs. I'm doing Michael Burns from Botanic Ridge.
Yeah, that's down there.
I'm glad you've heard of that because I've never heard of it.
It's a golf course, isn't there, down there, Frankston?
Okay.
Carrum Downs?
I'd never heard of it. Mike Burns from Botanic Ridge.
Yeah.
Then there's Nick Martin from the Gold Coast Toyota. Oh. Mick Martin? Nick Martin, not Mick Martin. You ever met Mick Martin lately?
Nice bloke.
Yeah, very nice.
Good bloke.
Very good. Do you know he got best on the ground? once that I was commentating, I think, on Triple M or whatever. Yeah. And he got best on the ground and he never got a kick.
I was just going to say he's a very negative player.
Never got a kick.
Very negative
player. His stats
player.
Were one hand pass, no kicks.
Who was he on?
No marks, but he stopped the bloke. It was the full forward kicking a goal. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, Robert Klomp received a television. Do you remember that out at Waverley yep. when we were playing?
That's
we
right.
We never saw him, and he still got a television set.
So, Nick Martin from Gold Coast Toyota. Brennan Harvey. Brennan. Would no, you call your
no,
son
you
Brennan?
You call yourself Brennan.
Well, his name's Brennan Harvey no, from no. the Hawthorn Cheer Squad. I tell you... When Australia, do you remember last year when Australia Day came and every club except Geelong said it was a disgrace, Australia Day, it's Invasion Why? Day, we should be ashamed of ourselves. Oh. All the clubs weighed in on all the players who've made a career out of playing football, Indigenous, white, black, blue, brindle, they've all made a career out of it. They've never had it better, never had life better, and they still whinged about Australia Day. And Hawthorn led the charge on saying it was a disgrace to celebrate Australia Day. But anyhow, Brennan is from the Hawthorn Cheer Squad.
Hang on, is this a shout-out to him?
What's this? Is Mick?
So Brennan has got a hat or cap or... apron
of
or
course or else because he wouldn't Mick wouldn't be sending these
okay
so Brennan Harvey from the Hawthorn Cheer Squad. Now wait for this. Biff Bamford that's his name from the Grovedale Hotel in Geelong.
He Where's wants a Grovedale you
Grove
know Geelong?
Just a suburb of Geelong.
Where about? Oh yes, that's on the way to Port Arlington.
No, it's not. It's Grovedale's on the way to Torquay or
yeah, they're green and yellow, the football team. Is
oh,
that right?
Fuck, do I know what colour they are? But Biff Bamford wants one, and Thomas Gaffney Ward, Thomas Gaffney. Thomas Gaffney. He's a Ward from the Guild. Oh fucking, what's Mick? A Ward from the Guild's St Mary's Cricket Club.
He's a what?
It says Ward from the Guild Street. The Guild St Mary's Cricket Club in Geelong. He's either a ward of the state or his name is Gaffney Ward. Anyhow, we've done them. I'm not sure if he's a ward of the state or his name is Ward. So they're the shout-outs from Mick. And I had to sing a happy birthday video to... our very good listener at the South Melbourne market called Ralph Meats. Do you know Ralph Meats? They listen, and his daughter...
Jimmy Ralph.
His daughter Zara said, could I say...
Now, hang on. There was Jimmy Ralph, a butcher in Caulfield.
Well, this man's in the South Melbourne market, and his name's Michael, and I didn't know it was him.
I wonder if he's
saying.
Related to Jimmy Ralph. Does he make those big balls, you know, that like Kate saves?
No, they sell meat, Don. So have a listen to this. You'll love this. That they are now trying to ban these... let me just get this up. They now want to ban...
Listen, while you're fumbling through there, can I just mention Kate Save, and that was a segue into what... And I had to go through my rubbish bin, and I pulled out all the sleeves that I've had since Christmas time... of meals I've consumed. So you're ready for this?
Yes.
Now, this is... It's an extensive range of product. Now, there's a wholemeal beef lasagna is number one. A chunky chicken ham and sweet corn soup, which I had one night. Very, very nice. Italian meatballs. Italian meat, beef meatballs. Cottage pie with cauliflower mash. Very nice. Cauliflower leek and bacon soup. Now, this is all what I have consumed over the days. Chili and ginger baked fish. Wholemeal beef lasagna. I think I mentioned that one already. Naked burrito bowl. Special Mexican pulled beef. I think my son had that last night. It's at mine. And Italian meatball soup. Now, as well as, while I'm looking at sitting on the couch watching the races of a Saturday... I'd get into her dark choc hazelnut protein balls or the chocolate truffle all the peanut nutty protein balls. So go on the website, have a look, Kate Save. It's called Be Fit Foods, and I would go to head office, which is in Mornington Tyre Road, Mornington. There's also Choc Caramel Smoothie, and I had a Sunset Crush. That was magic, the Sunset Crush. So there's an ad for Kate Save. Yeah,
that certainly is an ad for Kate Save.
Now, have you now tried Don, it? Now, hang on. Yeah, seriously, yep. Have you tried it?
Yeah, I've tried some of them, yeah. Not all those, I haven't, no. Why don't
you go down?
Because I can't get down to...
You play golf at... what's
National,
that place called?
National.
Well, just call in. You cross the road.
So there's councils now, Don. This is on the... This is true too. Councils now are banning any use of leather items in their community because they don't want... They think that... It's ecologically, you know, can't. So they've asked residents and ratepayers expect us to concentrate on serious big ticket items, but are now asking us not to use things made of leather. The 9 council members agreed that further research into potential policy to be carried out. Minutes from the stated that it is now seeking advice in relation to retiring or of controversial council-owned leather and fur items to address the use of fur and leather in a formal events or events held on council property. So you can't kick a leather football, you can't use a leather cricket ball because it's made of leather, you can't use...
Who put this out?
This is the minutes...
What, Victorian or...?
This is the minutes from a council meeting, I think it's in New South Wales. Here's the thing. Do you know, this is a rhetorical question. You know what leather is, don't you? It's using the skin of an animal.
That's right. Fine.
So if you are going to slaughter pigs to eat or sheep or
you
cattle...
You use the leather.
Why would you throw the leather away?
They utilise the whole lot. You'd utilise the whole animal by using the intestines.
They're asking you not to use leather items.
Yeah, but these people are not...
No, but these people get into councils and get into government, like the ridiculous...
Do you know our shire down on the peninsula spent about $200 to $250 to a consultant's agency to come up with a name called DAWA, DAWA, for the swimming pool? It's called the DAWA Aquatic Centre. Wouldn't you call that the Rosebud Pool or the Rosebud Aquatic Centre? It's called DAWA. It's cost between $200,000 and $250,000, as well as, and I've mentioned in the past, $50,000 on carting koalas in the Shire. It is ridiculous.
I'll just read this out. This is you announced your question. A Sydney Council's motion to potentially ban fur and leather in all formal events held on council property has been put before the board. The motion discussed at the North Sydney Council meeting just before Christmas could have resulted in the banning of R.M. Williams boots, the famous boots, Kubra hats, cricket balls, footballs, anything made of leather. They're asking if it's on the council property and it's run by the council or it's a public event. Can you believe that people like that get voted into
the council? Did you see in the paper the other day there was some about getting rid of local governments? I don't think I'd get rid of local governments, but I'd certainly get rid of the state government and I would up local government's job and I'd go through the local government because a lot of money's wasted and I reckon with communication the way it is that the federal government could do basically what the state government does now. Now, because our system in Australia was set up in the horse and cart days, when communication, transport and everything else left a lot to be desired, and there was a big gap between the various capital cities in Australia, to the point that, in Victoria we had, I think it was a wide-gauge railway, New South Wales narrow-gauge, so when you got to Albury you had to change trains. That's how they didn't work together, but with Federation brought something together. But I think it's time now, with communication the way it is, that we got rid of state governments. They are a bane. It could be run by a federal authority, and I'd up the ante of local governments because that's what we're interested in, is our community and what we live in.
Yes. Now, Don, finally, have a guess who's turning 80 on the 29th of this month. It staggered me when I suddenly realised this person is turning 80. Very high profile entertainment guru.
Molly?
Yep. 80. Isn't that extraordinary? Who has nearly fell off a ladder and nearly killed himself 15 years ago or whatever. And I looked him up to see. I couldn't believe it. I looked him up and he's 80 on the 29th and there's a big bash for him, big party, of course there would be. And one of his names, it says there in his...
His brother was a racing writer, yes, Brian. Brian at the...
Is he still with us?
I don't know. He Brian used to help Holden. At the Royal Show, Brian.
Well, Molly's name is Ian, of course, but Molly. And they said one of his names was Willie.
Who?
Willie.
Willie Meldrum.
This was his...
Nickname.
Nickname was Willie Ever Finish. Because... Will he ever finish? Don't you get that?
No.
Because they said he rambled on a bit. Will he ever finish? Oh, what he's okay. saying, yep. His name was Willie ever finish. Yep. I thought that was quite clever,
yeah,
Don.
Not bad.
And we did a roast for Molly when I was on Channel 9 and 25, 30 years ago, and I was part of the roast, and I don't think any of it went to air because we took the piss out of him being gay, and which he takes, didn't take the piss out of him, but we said, oh, yes, he belongs to a group, he's a motorcycle club called Hell's Hairdressers, and we thought that was terribly humorous because he sends himself up. He says he's been engaged.
You've got to be able to laugh at
he's
yourself.
He's been engaged to women, and he's been engaged to a man, and he's lived. He talks about it openly. And when you do a roast, we were very respectful, but we took the piss out of him. And they said, oh, it was a disgrace. It was homophobic. And to say all those things, I'm saying, shit. So they didn't put any of it to air. And I got the shit kicked out of me because I did what I thought a roast was, and that's sending up people for their life. So anyhow,
I was I'm not willing to cut you off, but we haven't got all day. Hey, I was watching the races the other day, which is my thing, and I've always wondered when they have over a 2,000-metre race in the country, a lot of times you've got to go around 1.5 times around the race meeting, and I always
racetrack,
and I always wondered if. Wonder what would happen if the tractor that tows the starting stalls ever malfunctioned. So they start the race, they can't start the tractor. You've got the starting stalls stretched out across the track. The horses come around. Well, it happened. I couldn't believe it. It was a gawler last Saturday. The barriers were stuck. No, Werribee, I'm sorry. I was watching Gawler was on at the same time, but it was at Werribee. Race number one at Werribee, which was the 2,000-metre race. The barriers stuck, and so they had to declare, I think they declared it a non-race.
Well, so the horses
went right around.
Galloped into the thing.
Well, luckily the clerk, of course, on the grey horse went out, about 50 metres in front.
Oh, so they've done a lap and they've still
done a lap and they're coming around and here these barriers stretch right across. They're going hell for leather, but at least they saw the clerk, of course. And these racehorses are not the most steerable. There's a word that you... They're not the most tractable of animals. All they know is how to run in a straight line. They haven't got much of a mouth and the poor little jockeys are sitting there trying to control these beasts. The fact that there wasn't an accident was unbelievable. The clerk, of course, on his grey pony, rode on the inside and kind of pushed them out and they followed and there's just a small gap and they all went through.
It's a bit like the greyhounds catching the lure.
Yeah, but that's just a bit of fur.
Well, sometimes they catch it.
But there's nothing there. There's not a rabbit or anything.
Don. Sometimes the greyhounds catch the lure, which is meant to go around and keep ahead of them. And if it's not going quick enough and they catch it, they stop and grab it because they think that's what it's for. And they don't run any further because they've caught the lure. Don, you know that.
Yeah, I know.
This bloke is in this bar. Listen to this. This bloke is in the bar and he's speaking to this woman and she went down to pick a drink up and her glass, she had a glass eye, it fell out of her head and rolled down the bar, and a bloke at the end, as he saw it coming, caught her glass eye. And he walked back up to her and he said, look, she said, thank you very much, she said, for giving that back to me. She said, would you like to come to dinner with me? I could repay you. And he said, oh, that's very nice of you. I'll go to dinner. And so they went to dinner. And she said, look, would you like to come back to my apartment where I'm living and have a couple of drinks? He said, well, shit, that's mighty neighbourly of you. And they get back there and she said, would you like to stay the night? And, you know,
He didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, as if he didn't know that was coming. Stay the
You'd
night.
Cut to the chase.
Would you like, she
yeah,
said...
Yeah, you wouldn't muck around with the drink and so forth.
No, she said, would you like to come to bed and, you know, have some horizontal refreshment?
That's right.
And he got up in the morning and she was there and he said, listen, he said, do you do this to everyone that you meet at bars? And why did you do it to me? And she said, because you caught my eye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Because, Don, he caught her glass eye and he gave it back to her. And in the morning he said, do you do this to everyone you meet? She said, no, I don't. He said, well, why did you do it to me? She said, because you caught my eye.
You're repeating yourself. You said that.
Well, I am repeating myself, Don. I thought that was... I thought it might have got more than the fact that you stood there quizzle-eyed with your fucking went cross-eyed. You couldn't... Is that it now? We don't?
No.
Quickly then.
No.
Go on.
I was watching the cricket. Matt Renshaw, you wouldn't know, but Matt Renshaw had COVID. He's playing for Australia up in Sydney, and so he's isolated, sitting on the bench by himself, so he couldn't mix with the rest of the team because of COVID. Now, it dawned on me the bullshit, and then he comes out to bat. Without any warm-up, we're watching him and the cameras are on him. He comes out to bat. His first hit, he goes into face. First hit, a four. It's a nice touch shot, fine leg, four. Now, that's when you're informed to just touch it and twin. Now, that dawned on me. Do we do too much warm-up? Then I thought of football. You know, the bullshit they go on with,
yep.
And they've lost the anti-climb. The best thing and the most sensational thing I think in AFL football is to go to a grand final just prior to the grand, the team's running out on the ground, that... You could just about feel it, that sense of anticipation,
yep.
Of who's in the team, what's happening, and they actually run onto the ground and they run around the ground as a group. It really adds to the atmosphere. They could do a lot more with it with regard to music. And I just thought when Renshaw came out and touched this ball, he was in form and
Don.
Whatever else. He didn't have to get his eye in. He didn't have to do this. And again, I go back, sorry to do this, I hate doing this, but in the past, you could warm up sufficiently and very well because they had kicking nets and everything along that line in the change rooms with AFL football, and you were fit, you were perspiring before you even hit that ground. I believe to add to the atmosphere and the presentation of the game, get rid of the warm-up on the ground and bring back a sense of theatre.
I hate to say this, Don, we've mentioned this many times, that the warm-up on the ground, the umpires, the players going out, then coming off, it is nonsense. And if you want to see how much people over-practice and over-warm-up, watch golfers. The professional golfers practice for an hour out hitting golf balls. If you don't know how to hit a golf ball, if you do it as a profession, you don't need an hour and a half hitting, going through all the clubs and practicing putting. That's that. And when Gil McLaughlin some years ago asked for people to give tips on how or have a seminar on how the game...
He was only being politic. He wouldn't listen to anything.
No, so this is my point, Don. I rang up and I said, I've got some... I left a
message.
No, this is...
You can do it over... What about your cup of coffee with him?
Don, this is before he threw us under the bus.
Yeah, but hang on, he's put out the olive branch to you, not to me, but to you. And that you're going to have
anyhow,
a copy.
This is long before he threw us under the bus about the windmill stuff, you know, talk about being disloyal. So I rang up and I said that was one of the things, why we have practice people to improve the game, why we have the teams out warming up before the game starts. And there was a couple of other things. I never got a Guernsey, but the person that they did take notice of was the man on the project called Waleed, whatever his name is. I wonder why they took notice of him. Why would you take notice of Waleed any more than you'd take notice of someone who actually played the game?
Well, he's an academic.
No, I don't think. I think it was covering the politically correct base of asking academic. People from different backgrounds what they thought about the game rather than asking the experts, which, of course, I am an expert at.
So, talking about
one day, that man, I'll run into that man. I'll never forgive that man for throwing you and Mick Sheehan and us under the bus by exploiting his own virtuosity for political agenda and reasons. And he has, as I said, has all the characteristics of a dog except loyalty. And seriously, you couldn't have a more contrived crock of bullshit than he carried on with. And now he stands about condemned.
Okay, talking about McLaughlin, Hamish McLaughlin commentated on the weekend at the Magic Millions, polo and show jumping. If he's not the best host in Australia, I will give it away. The way he conducted the interviews in this particular event with two ladies and then some children came in... Unscripted.
And impromptu.
Yes, and the way he included, he did not get ruffled. It just went on as if it was a rehearsed thing. He is the best commentator in Australia.
Well,
he's got a remarkable way with children. I've watched him at the AFL. He used to do Little League or interview young children. Remember there used to be a show on the radio.
He
is very, 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 very good.
Yes, well, I'd put him and Eddie McGuire up in the same breath. And he's fantastic. And it's a pity Hamish's prowess and expertise doesn't rub off on his brother. Don, if that is it... we have, I think, covered everything, haven't we?
No, you haven't covered my puncture tyre.
Go on, quickly.
Can you believe that somebody would throw a Stanley blade on the freeway? Would you believe that?
Throw a Stanley blade?
Stanley blade, you know, Stanley
cutting knot.
But
maybe fell out of a car or fell
come
off,
on,
off
mate,
a truck.
Please.
It fell off a truck.
Please, John.
Well, you were driving a car along and it ran over a Stanley blade.
That's right, on the freeway.
Why would they do that?
Exactly.
No, but...
exactly what I said. Why would you do that?
Well, because it probably fell out of a
mate,
workman's
please,
truck.
Please, you'd have the whole knife. This was just the blade that went in the knife.
Oh,
idiots are throwing bloody blades out on the freeway.
Oh, well...
You cannot believe the mentality.
No, well, that'd be the people graffitiing all the freeways.
And what about, you haven't seen these ads, I said it a couple of weeks ago and they're starting to irritate me, fire ads, beware of the fire season.
Yep.
Why weren't we burning off in the middle of winter, mosaic burning and getting rid of all the undergrowth so we wouldn't have a fire problem?
What about the road toll, the TAC? Oh. There's more people being... died on the roads this year than ever before.
Yeah, you've seen the state of the roads around Victoria.
And the ads are completely useless, the ads. If you're an idiot on the road, you're not going to take any notice of the ads. And the bikes, the people who ride the bikes, as I've said before, why we have any speed limits or laws for people who ride motorbikes, let them do what they like because they'll end up killing themselves. Just
you're
another
still on the
government agency.
Oil?
What?
You're still on that marijuana
yes,
oil?
Yes, the marijuana oil. Don, I can't get enough of it.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's good. So we're winding it up now. Have you had enough now? You've had some topics. You carried a whole segment today with Ricky Nixon because you actually went
Do you think our intellect is on the same level, Ricky Nixon and myself?
It's a very good question, Don. It's a very good question. We should.
And you
have
couldn't get in because you're just superior. No, you're superior. No. You're.
I listened to you. I thought, no, here it is. Taking us 3-4 years for you actually to carry a segment on your own without me.
Come on,
I've
got to get home and put the horses in the stable.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.